This audio production is presented by Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church in Ocala, Florida. For more resources, visit us online at gspcocala.com.
Our sermon passage this day comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations.
Thank you, Bonnie. My son just leaned over to me and said, the greatest gift of all, a shorter sermon. Our greatest hope of that is that we would pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, your grace to speak. To those who rebel against you, those who cover our ears, those who twist your words, you speak and you give us your word. As we open your word now, would you open our ears? God, would you do what you do? Overcome our hard hearts and let us hear you. Open our eyes to see the wonder of a God who draws near. Let us see you face to face and behold your beauty. In Christ's name, amen. As we turn to Advent season, we take a break from our Sermon on the Mount series, and we're going to take the next four Sundays, which will actually be five sermons, because for those of you who hadn't checked your calendar, Christmas Eve is a Sunday, and so we'll have Christmas Eve regular worship and then Christmas Eve evening worship. For the next five sermons that we do between Josh and I, we're going to walk through the five solas of the Reformation. We are Presbyterian and Reformed, and what that means is way too long to explain now, but what that means is that we cling to the truths that were regained, returned to during the Protestant Reformation about 500 years ago, where the church had drifted from its proper foundations. And in returning to that and reclaiming that and properly stating it, we've taken up these five statements that we believe in the beauty and the truth of Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, the five solas that were meant to be ways of clinging to the true foundation, not getting caught up in the other things that we had added into what we said was Christianity at the time. And we come from that tradition, and it's a way of remembering what is true and right in God's word and the gospel that we hold to. There is no better time than Christmas time, Advent season, to remember those foundations, to celebrate those foundations. And so each week we're going to take one. This week we're looking at sola scriptura. The Word of God is our rule of faith and life. It is God's self-revelation. On Christmas, we celebrate God becoming flesh and showing us who he is. That same revelation comes to us in his word. He has spoken. And so today, I want to draw out from these marvelous words in the first chapter of John's gospel. First, that God speaks. Second, that he has spoken. And therefore, it is written. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These words are famous, if you will. They are poetic and beautiful. They are weighty and dense, and at the same time, they are simple and straightforward. These are words that are meant to tell us of the incarnation of Christ and his preexistence. Tell us of who Jesus is, that he is the Word, that he is the self-revelation of God. Always and forever, Christ is God revealing himself. Words, what words do, right? Some of us are terrible at words, right? Like sometimes people with microphones feel really bad with them. The Word is a way of taking what is internal and putting it external. It is taking the internal reality and making it an external communication. Christ is the Word and has always been the way in which God takes what is true in his Trinity and makes it exposed and known. It is him revealing himself to us. What that means is when we hear that we call Christ the Word, we're not talking simply about some philosophical idea. Or you can do a lot of study in how this word, Logos in Greek, has a huge philosophical history to it, and John seems to be using it to speak to the Greek culture at the time, and it also has a Hebraic history to it, and he's speaking to his Hebrew brothers and sisters at the time. And all of that is true, but the reality is that it's not a philosophy. And when we see that the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, that Word is not just a fancy idea. It is God exposing his heart. He is God saying, this is who I am. He is making himself known, which means, right? It says all things were made through him. It means this is not rocket science, but this is deeply important. God is personal. He is personable. He is a person, which means he is someone that can be related to. He is not a theory. He is not an idea. He is not theology that you need to decide on whether or not you actually want to recognize. He is a word that has been made known. He is coming toward us, moving toward us by his nature to say, this is who I am. The language there, when it says the Word was with God, it's a way of saying that this Word, this pre-incarnate Christ, was face-to-face. The Greek word actually means toward. You ever play golf and shank one and you say you got to get your towards going right? I do that all the time. You can't get my towards going right because I'm not hitting toward the object I'm supposed to be going toward. Christ and the Father were towards one another. They were face-to-face. It is a way of saying they were, right? Pam joked, I didn't want to be hugged by anybody today, but I should be. Face to face, that kind of intimacy, that the Word, Christ and the Father, face to face, they were persons, distinct and the same, was God. This is when we get into this Trinitarian, you know, use some duct tape, strap it on because your head's going to explode if you start to get this, right? The Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, always existing in communion and love of one another, right? And it is this relating to one another that is the beauty, right? John, who wrote these words, that for some of us, like some of you, when we read this, you're like, whew, I got a headache. He's also the same one that says, God is love. And both are just as powerful and complex and beautiful. The reason John can say God is love is because John can say the Word was God and the Word was with God. If God is singular and there are no three persons of the Trinity, there is no love. Love only exists when it's moving toward another object so that the Trinitarian nature of God, and I know in quick time, this is some dense stuff. The Trinitarian nature of God, it is love. It is the reason love can exist, is because God is love of one another. Now, this truth that God has, that God actually speaks to us, And this overflow of his love is his communication to us, confronts us. For some of us, it's a confrontation that we don't want to face. It confronts us with the reality that because God is a person, you do not get to approach him as simply an idea. Right? To illustrate the distinction. Have you ever gone to customer service? Have you ever called customer service and hung up an hour later having spoken to no one? Right? And what do you do? If there was a person I could talk to, right? Somebody ever come to you with a complaint? When a person is in front of you, you have to deal with the person. When it's an idea, when somebody wrote, you know, an anonymous comment about something, you can ignore that all you want. But personhood is confrontational. It makes you say, I have spoken. So that when God says, I am the Word, he's saying, here I am. And you can't ignore it. You are confronted with a reality that you must respond to. But you're not just confronted. He also comforts. When God speaks and reveals himself, he speaks into a world that is full of sin and pain and brokenness. Each and every one of us knows that we have times when pain and suffering overwhelm. We have times when relationships are broken. We have times when our questions seem to overwhelm us and we seem to be beyond ourselves and we don't know the answer. Our doubts, our pain, our needs, our desires which go unmet leave us questioning. And the comfort of the Word is that God is not distant from that, but he speaks into it. He draws near. So much so that we can say, all things were made through him, verse 3. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God doesn't just speak. He is not just a person, but he is one who has spoken. He has spoken all things into creation, right? This Trinitarian love overflows, Jonathan Edwards said. It is the love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit shared that overflows into the idea of let us make man. Let us create. Let us overflow and create this world so that it is by his word that God speaks and says, let there be light. So that God's spoken self-revelation is the way in which all things are made, in the way in which everything is created. It says all things were made through him, and it would be really easy to hear that the Word was God's instrument of creation, that Christ was God's tool of creation, that it was simply by speaking that God made everything, and that was just his weapon of creation. But you see, when it says all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life, you see that the Word was not merely a tool. God was not sitting back at a distance saying, let there be light, but instead, by being the Word, he enters into his creation. He is the life source of all he has made. So that instead of being distant, his speaking is a way in which he says, I am in, I am with. Colossians 1, if you have your Bibles, flip to Colossians 1. Colossians 1 is an ancient hymn. Perhaps it's the first writing of a Christian hymn we have that is a celebration of Christ putting on flesh and at the same time takes you back to creation so that the Word speaking and the Word putting on flesh that we celebrate at Christmas get blended together in Colossians 1. This is what Paul says. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This sounds familiar, right? For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, right? That's John 1, right? Everything was made through him. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything, that he might be preeminent in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. We see Christ not just being the Word incarnate, but being the Word incarnate at all times, coming and being with his creation, entering in, coming face to face with us. Again, God is not a theory, but he is also so near, drawing near to us, so much so that he is the life and the light of men, that all that we are is dependent on his Word. All that we are and do is dependent on him, which again is a confrontation. We live in a world, like it or not, that you and I, every single one of us, swim in a world that was impacted by postmodern thought. Don't fall asleep. And we by nature, don't throw things at me, we are expressive individuals and believe that that idea is the core of who we are. Now, some of you know those terms and you're like, not me. You drink it every day. You can't get away from it. What I mean is this. We live in a world where words and the meaning of words have been questioned, have been deconstructed to the point that it is not abnormal in the world in which you and I live, in our community, that some words have different meanings for some people. They are flexible and useful in 1,000 different ways because I can use it how I want to. And some of you think, yeah, that's awful. And the reality is you do it too. You just do it with the words that matter most to you. See, we by nature reject God speaking into us, so much so. I mentioned postmodernism. Postmodernism, it was the philosophy that says, right, that some words have different meanings and we can play with them and use them differently, right? That interpretation is up to the individual. And the comeback you have to that is, okay, you want to say that. You want to say it's all just my personal experience and all that. Well, if I personally experience punching you, you can't say I did anything wrong. If you personally experience that, and I personally experience it, you can't critique me. And we tried to come to our culture and say, no, you have to have an authority. And instead, what we have done is to say, that's right, I get to make it up on my own. I would rather take the punishment that comes with that than have to submit to your word. I would rather live in a world where everything is up for grabs than live in a world where somebody else gets to decide what's true, where there's an authority outside of me that has spoken. By nature, we reject God's insertion of himself into his world. The comforting thing is that even though you and I live in a world where language gets played with, where words seem to be empty at times, God has spoken, and God's words are his actions. His words are his actions, right? He speaks and it is created, right? When we see Christ, he shows up and he does crazy things, right? He heals people just with a word. Every now and again, he'll use hands and other things because he loves us and wants to get touching. I know, I need the critique. And at the same time, he loves to just speak and make it happen. Lazarus, come forth. Be still. And the storm is still. Right? His word is his action. The clearest and most beautiful example of that is his word become flesh, so that when Christ incarnates and walks among us, you see the heart of God. You see the word living, and it's not just verbiage, but it is the exposed heart of God coming for his people, pouring out his grace and mercy, bringing healing, bringing hope. God has spoken, and it is written. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We need to be confronted by these words. We need to be comforted by these words because darkness is here. 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 has come. This good world that God spoke into being has been infiltrated. We are the infiltration. We are the ones who have corrupted it. We have taken it and twisted it. You know this. Whether it be sickness or sin, whether it be cancer or a broken relationship, whether it be the ways in which you think you're going to get better, but you don't, you all know that we live in a world that has darkness in it. And the beauty of this is the darkness does not win. At times it feels tangible. At times it feels as though the darkness, the sin outside and within is going to win. That you will not overcome it. That the sickness keeps coming back and it will never end. The beauty of a God who speaks, who has spoken, and who has written his promises is that his word stands. And his light shines in the darkness will not overcome it. God has gifted us with his word. Some of us don't like to read it. Some of us feel guilty that we don't read it. If I can do anything, I would take away that guilt and help you see the gift of this. Right? That God himself, all glory and majesty and grace and mercy, has made himself known. He hasn't just thrown words on a page. He said, this is my heart. The heart that says, I'm going to draw near. You spare me one more illustration? Two, because we get communion, but give me one more? All right. Three people said yes. That means I can go. Almighty and all-powerful God could save us in a moment. He could rend the heavens, show his glory, right? Revelation 19, Jesus coming on the horse with the sword coming out of his mouth with all his authority, all his power, and vanquish all his foes. He could destroy it in a moment, and he could just say, I got you. But he doesn't. You ever seen those silly internet videos where people scare someone, but when they get scared, they pop them in the face? Right? If God broke in right now, you and I would either, Revelation 6, say, may the rocks fall on me, cover me, I cannot handle that glory. Or we would try and smack him in the face. Instead, what does he do? He says, I know. I'll come as a baby. I'll step in where they will not be scared. And I will grow in among them. I will show them my heart. I will show them that I'm here to touch and gently restore. I will show them that I am here to make a way that they can know me. I will come and speak softly to them. And I will draw them in. And I will take their pain. And I will bring them life. And I will destroy all that is wrong. That is the goodness of God's word. Would you pray with me? Father, speak to us and let us hear. In Christ's name, amen.